Welcome to Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday. With your host, Jaguars.com senior editor Vic Ketchman. Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV is brought to you by Community First Credit Union, Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Baptist Health, and by Ticket Exchange. Now, here's your host, the always happy, always positive, always effervescent, man of a thousand smiles, Vic Ketchman.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Jaguars Monday. I am Vic Ketchman, and I am so glad you are with me this evening because I think we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. And that's because winning is so much more fun than losing. I'll bet you we won't even have a screaming exchange tonight as we had last week. I'll bet you we don't have that tonight, Joe.
Oh, I hope we do.
I know you do.
Don't say that.
I'll bet you we don't, though, because people are happy.
Yes, we will. No, they're still miserable.
No, no. You know, I want to go through the playoff picture a little bit. I want to go through this in the hunt thing so that everybody understands what a catbird seat the Jaguars are in right now, and also what's at stake this Sunday. This is it, folks. This game this Sunday, when you examine what's at stake here, especially as it pertains to the tiebreakers, this is the one. This is the game, not the game, the game. Everyone, of course, is focusing on that Thursday nighter against the Colts. And, you know, that's going to be the night that the Jacksonville is going to sell this place out and we're going to show ourselves to national television. Forget about that. Focus on Sunday. Don't look ahead. This is what's going to happen here this Sunday with the Dolphins may turn out to be the signature game of this season for this franchise. And I know you're thinking, oh, come on, Ketchman. I mean, you know, the following game against Peyton Manning. We don't even know that Peyton Manning is going to play much more than a quarter in that game. Maybe he'll play the whole game. I don't know. But they may be locked in a position. And who knows what kind of game that. Hey, let's look at it this way. If the Jaguars lose on Sunday, I don't know what that game against the Colts will mean. Because at that point, the Jaguars would have to win out. They would have to absolutely win out, and that means having to win in New England. So, if you would, just let's focus on Sunday's game against the Dolphins. Intrastate rivalry. The team from all the way at the southern tip of the state is coming all the way up to the northeastern part of the state to play its AFC brethren. It's going to play with a playoff berth on the line. And let's go through that in the hunt a little bit. Bear in mind, we are now 12 weeks into the season. Three quarters of the season is gone. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, who were going into a rebuilding year when they went to training camp, the Jacksonville Jaguars, who some people didn't think would win six games, a team that I gave no chance of establishing anything more this year than an upwardly pointing arrow, now has a one-game lead in the playoff race on the defending Super Bowl champion Steelers. A one-game lead over the Miami Dolphins, this week's opponent, who were in the playoffs last year, who were a Cinderella team, a surprise playoff team a year ago. A one-game lead, depending, of course, on what happens tonight between the Ravens and the Packers. A one-game lead over the Baltimore Ravens right now. Now, if the Ravens won tonight, the Jaguars would be tied with the Ravens. They're 6-5. How about a two-game lead over the defending AFC South champion Tennessee Titans? They're still in the race. I mean, but this is extraordinary. The Jaguars are leading all of those teams. The Steelers, the Dolphins, the Ravens, the Titans, all of whom were in the playoffs last year. Now, the problem is the Jaguars have probably the most daunting remaining schedule. They're going to play a very good team, very good Miami team this Sunday, and they're playing a Miami team that is on the rise. clearly on the rise. They're playing their best football right now. This is going to be a very, very stiff challenge from a Miami team that is, by the way, of course, 6-6, but they are, the Dolphins are ranked, have the fourth ranked rushing offense in the league. That's a big challenge. And they have a defense that is playing a lot better right now than its number 22 ranking. Sometimes those rankings can be misleading, especially for a team like Miami that has played such a killer schedule, a really killer schedule. Anyhow, so there's your Broncos. The Denver Broncos are 8-4. They look like they're a lock. I would almost consider them a lock for at least one of the two wild card spots. And then the Jaguars come in at 7-5, followed by the Ravens at 6-5, who play tonight against the Packers. Root for the Packers, obviously. The Dolphins at 6-6. The Jets at 6-6. Jaguars have already beaten them. They got the tiebreaker there. The Steelers at 6-6, and the Titans and Texans at 5-7 each. Texans, of course, have already lost twice to the Jaguars. That's what I mean by catbird seat. But you got to win this Sunday against the Dolphins to stay in that catbird seat, because if the Dolphins win, you've got the Jaguars have big problems. They would immediately have lost the head-to-head tiebreaker, and they would have upcoming, of course, the Colts and a trip to New England, and that would not be good. The Dolphins' remaining schedule is at Tennessee. Then they host, to end the season, Houston and Pittsburgh, and there's a possibility that the playoffs could be on the line for them in that season ender against Pittsburgh.
Now, the Dolphins, unlike the Jaguars, they're playing for the division. They could beat, they can pull ahead of New England.
Yes, they could. They absolutely could. The Patriots right now are leading the division at 7-5, so the Dolphins are only one game back. I'm trying to remember what the other result was in the New England game. I think New England beat them once. So they split their home and home. I like New England with a one game lead and four to play, and the Dolphins facing a tough schedule, remaining schedule. I still like the Patriots for the division title. But you bring up a good point, Joe, because if all of a sudden the Dolphins caught fire and the Patriots went in the dumper, the Jaguars could be facing a game for the playoffs in New England. Oh, this is getting really juicy. This is December, and this is fun. Why don't you give me a call? We'll talk about how much fun we're having tonight. And I see that we have a caller that we can get in before we go to the first break. Let's talk to Dave in St. Augustine Beach. Good evening, Dave.
Good evening, Mr. Catchman. Thanks for taking my call. You know, being at the game, and I've been a season ticket holder for 5 years, and I've been every game, it is really sad looking around the stadium and seeing how few people are there. And with the game not being on TV or anything like that, and not seeing many replays, because I'll be damned if they seem to show any at all. I feel that for the most part that the fans who are in attendance do a damn good job of hooting and hollering when we're on defense making some noise. I watched that the Thursday night game against the Jets and the Bills. It was in Toronto. And in the fourth quarter, when it was a one-score game, Marcus Stroud was jumping up and down trying to get the crowd into it on defense. And, and I'm not bashing Toronto or the Bills fans, but there was absolutely no noise at all whatsoever in what was looked like a full stadium to me.
Hello. I'm getting. He's just not going to listen, right? I mean, he's got me lost. I don't know where we're going with this, and I don't know what he means by a full stadium.
Okay, all I'm saying, Vic, is I hope that the fans realize what's going on with this Jaguars team right now. We're 5-1, and every single home game has been competitive for the most part. Every single game has been a blast. And if the Jaguars ever needed the fans in the stands to, have a statement game at this point in the season, it's now. So I hope you show up this week, because it's been a hell of a time. Thanks, Vic.
Okay, sure. He's right. I mean, we've beaten this horse, and it is sorely bruised and battered from the beating it has taken this year. I don't know where to go with this attendance thing, other than to say that, yes, the Jaguars need you. The Jaguars want you to buy tickets. This town needs this team. I hope at some point everybody wakes up, understands that, and falls in love with the Jaguars as I think they once were. But that's beyond my control. That is beyond the Jaguars' control. This is now a matter between the football fans in this town and their hearts. And with that, we will go to our first break of the evening.
And here's something you can't control. That's you being on the air with Vic. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351. Outside the calling area, 1-800-355-NFL-1. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and a whole bunch more. Stop by Gate today. Vic will be back right after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday, right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Victor, did you know the Blood Alliance and the Jaguars Gift of Life Blood Drive is happening right here at the stadium tomorrow?
Get out.
From 7 a.m. till 10 p.m., every donor gets a goodie bag, a chance to meet players, to meet Jackson DeVille, the Roar. You also got a chance to win cabana seats to the Colts game. It's the Blood Alliance's Jaguars Gift of Life Blood Drive all day tomorrow, 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., the West Touchdown Club, so there's no reason not to come and donate.
Joe, I'm a big supporter of blood. I always have been.
You going to do it tomorrow?
Absolutely.
I'll do it.
Yeah. That's
real easy.
I've been a big supporter of blood.
Blood is good.
Okay. Let's go to another call, another caller. Let's talk to Greg on the West Side, who wants to talk about turf conditions. Greg, how are you?
Hey, Vic, how you doing, man?
Pretty good, pretty good.
Hey, man, I was at the game this weekend. I actually saw you at the pregame thing and the little booth you do with Jeff Loggeman.
Yep.
So glad to see you. Comment first real quick before I get to my question. I'd like to hear your thoughts on this. On an article in the paper, in the Jacksonville paper today, they were talking about the win and everything, and one of the people commenting on the article made a comment about that they – let the Jaguars leave and turn the stadium into a huge flea market, which I thought the entire thought process behind that was really comical. Yeah. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, about what they could possibly do with that stadium if the Jaguars by chance left.
Well, I can tell you exactly what will happen to this stadium if the Jaguars weren't here. It will fall into disrepair.
When
you don't have a major tenant, when a building doesn't have a full-time tenant, it's vacant. What happens?
Right.
What happens to vacant buildings? They fall into disrepair. You're right. If this building was to not have a full-time tenant, if the Jaguars were not here, my guess is that this contract period for the Florida Georgia game would be the last.
Well, here's my question. I've noticed this season, and this might be my perception, but it seems this season we've been having a lot more traction problems than we have in previous years. I noticed yesterday the guys are slipping and falling on the field, especially in that one safety play with Garrard and Mojo, where it looks like it was a handoff that didn't execute properly, and both Mojo and David slipped on that play. I'd like to get your thoughts on the field conditions and if maybe they're supposed to be using – maybe they should think about going to a bigger cleat. I know Jack mentioned that in one of his shows that maybe they ought to be using a bigger cleat, but I'd like to hear what your thoughts on that are.
We have more important stuff to cover than field conditions. I'll tell you what the field condition was. Fine. It was fine. I blame it on the players. It's their responsibility to wear whatever it takes or to do whatever it takes with their feet to maintain traction. I mean, this isn't, you know, we're not talking about creating some kind of some kind of surface that adheres to them. They have to adhere to it. So, you know, and I'm one of these guys who really, really gets tired of hearing about what was the field in good condition and was it just right, and hey, it's football, and if the field is in any kind of decent condition, just play on. I can remember a couple years ago when the Jaguars played in Pittsburgh in the playoffs and won there twice in a month, by the way. There was just this uproar about, oh, the turf, and you know, they had that game with Miami on Monday night and the ball stuck in the mud and all, and it just Everyone was obsessed with it. Jaguars went up there in the snow, won two games. I asked Jack Del Rio after the second game, how was the turf? He said it was fine. He said it was fine. It was wonderful. It was perfect. He had no problem with it at all. Everybody else who didn't play on the field had a problem with it. All of the people who played on the field, they were fine with it. So, I mean, let's remember that it's football, that once upon a time, great players were covered in mud head to toe, that games are played in all kinds of different conditions, and we're not looking for some kind of sterile environment. I mean, that's video games. That's video football. This is real football. Let's talk to Craig on the South Side, who wants to talk about something called cost versus performance. Craig, how are you? Please don't take us down a dead end, okay? Don't take us down. Don't take me into a blind alley, okay?
I'm not going to go in a blind alley. Point blank is I'm not going to pay the same to go watch Carrot Top as I would a premier performer. And okay. When you go into the stadium, you have to even purchase a bottle of water. You can't even bring it in yourself.
Okay.
And we're not going to go with that, but I'm just going to say cost versus performance, it's not worth it.
Okay.
And, you know, people aren't paying it. That's all there is to it.
Okay, Craig, good evening, buddy. And let's talk to Sonny at the beach. He wants to talk about short yardage situations. Hello, Sonny.
Hey, Vic, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, thanks. Hey, listen, I had a quick question for you on the play calling. Why is it when we have like fourth and the length of a football that we just don't have Garrard just do a quarterback sneak and just it just looks like he's impossible to stop, you know, for he's good always for a yard or so. And, you know, it happened yesterday a few weeks ago, you know, they tried to hand it off to Drew and there was a fumble. And I don't understand why they just don't do a quarterback sneak.
Well, I have a booklet with me that has that information in it. I'm going to have to turn the pages. I'll probably do it during the break so I can concentrate on what I'm doing. And I should be able to get back the exact information to you. But my guess is that David Garrard is probably the best quarterback sneak quarterback in the league or one of the best quarterback sneak quarterbacks in the league. And he's probably done it more than anybody or has done it as much as anybody. I think you're off on your on your evaluation there. I think that David Garrard has attempted a lot of quarterback sneaks in short yardage situations, and I've yet to see him fail. I can't think of one situation this year where I've seen him fail in a third and one or fourth and one or inches or whatever, and he's tried a quarterback sneak. So, but I will look that up. I've got the short yardage stats here for the league, and during the break, I'll have plenty of time to do it, and I hope I can give you the exact information you seek. Okay? And let's get one more in before the break, before that bottom of the hour break. Let's talk to Kevin in Savannah. Good evening, Kevin.
Hey, Vic. How you doing?
Good.
Talking about quarterbacks that are good at quarterback sneak, Brady's also a good one. I know he's mm-hmm. heard us in Jacksonville doing the quarterback sneaks numerous times, but that's not why I called. Not too long ago, we had a quarterback at Jacksonville where everyone talked about how tough he was. Now we have David Garrard, who seems to be getting hit more.
Well, who's the other quarterback, first of all? Mention who's the quarterback you're talking about.
Well, it wasn't too long ago.
Well, just give me the name.
Leftwich.
Okay, he was a tough guy.
Yeah, how tough, you know, he took hits and how tough. I'm curious why Garrard doesn't get that same moniker like Leftwich did. I mean, because the hits he's taken over all in all are much worse than Leftwich used to take.
Well, again, I think he does. I mean, I've said it over and over. In fact, I've had people, you know, come to ask Vic and criticize me for being so complimentary of David Garrard's toughness. I mean, there's an element in every city that is for the quarterback and an element that is against the quarterback. If you say something nice about the quarterback, then the element that is against him, you know, is against you. If you say something bad about the quarterback, the element that is for him is now against you. So there's really no way to win on this subject, but there's no doubt in my mind that this guy has a reputation around the league for being a tough guy. In fact, Jack Del Rio said, after the San Francisco game, that he thinks the Jaguars are penalized by the officials because they see David Garrard as such a big, strong, tough, courageous guy that he doesn't get he doesn't get the same calls, you know, piling on type of calls, unsportsmanlike conduct calls that a Peyton Manning gets.
At his legs one time yesterday, and which wasn't called.
Yeah, well, I didn't see anything cheap yesterday. I thought the game was called fine. I saw that he got a shot in the gut. You know, he got a helmet in the gut as he was throwing the ball. Hey, that's football. I mean, he was getting hit as he threw. If you don't want to get hit in the gut, get rid of the ball faster. And with that, let's go to our bottom of the hour break here on Jaguars Monday.
Victor, I'm for you. I'll tell you that much.
I know you are, Joe.
And if you want to be for Victor, hey, or even against Victor, just give him a call. 355-NFL1, 355-6351, or 1-800-355-NFL1. And you can vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. That's all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Just visit CommunityFirstFL.org for all the details. Victor will be back on Jaguars Monday right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Vic Ketchman's raring to go. You want to talk to him? 355-NFL1 is the number. That's 6351 in case you can't do letters on your phone. You know, we told you before about Evan Britton, Eugene Monroe, Mike Sims-Walker all being out of dailies. Guess what? Tomorrow, Rasheen Mathis.
No.
I kid you not, Victor. Number 27 himself. Going to be at the dailies at 4225 Roosevelt Boulevard. Tomorrow night from 5:30 to 6:30, Rasheen's going to sign autographs, take pictures. Just go by, say hi.
I hope he could play this week. They need him.
What are the odds of that happening?
I think Jack Del Rio tried to him and haw in such a way as it might mislead the Dolphins to game plan tomorrow to include Mathis in the game. But I got the feeling, after all the him and hawing, that he ain't going to play.
Maybe the Colts game?
It's only 4 days later. Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong. But I just, I didn't, you know, he made it sound like there's a chance, but he didn't sell me. Let me put it, that's the way I want to put it. I think he was trying to sell the idea that he might play. I wasn't buying. I didn't.
So he needs to get better at selling.
He didn't close the sale. Hey, by the way, folks, I just found out something. I've just unearthed a great truth. You know the saying, perception is reality.
Yep.
It's not. It's absolutely not reality. That caller's perception was that Garrard doesn't run on third and one, fourth and one, on, you know, on the short yardage
plays. I kind of think he was, though. I think he...
No. He said, why don't they use him more on third and short? As he was referring to Jones-Drew getting stoned at the goal line on third and fourth and one. All right. Well, here's the facts. Here's the truth. And I'm stunned by this, which only goes to show you that even old sports writers who think they know it all can learn something. David Garrard, ladies and gentlemen, leads the National Football League in attempts and conversions of third and one rushing attempts. There are I'm going to guess 15 guys who are batting 1,000 on third and one rushing attempts, and David Garrard leads the pack. He's 8 for 8 on third and one. The closest quarterback is Tom Brady at 4 for 4. But here's the even more stunning fact, and this one really grabs me. I didn't know this. The NFL stats pack has a category called leaders, first down leaders. In other words, these are men who have caught passes for and rushed with the ball for the most first downs in the league this year. There are 40. There's 50 in the AFC and 50 in the NFC that are listed. David Garrard is the only quarterback listed among those 100 men in the league, the 50 in each conference. He is the only quarterback listed for having rushed for enough first downs or caught enough passes for enough first downs to be on this list. He is 47th, tied for 47th in the AFC. He's rushed for 24 first downs. Of course, he has no receptions for first downs. For instance, the leader in the league is Adrian Peterson of the Vikings, as you would expect, with 56 rushes for first downs and 12 receptions for first downs. David Garrard has 24 rushes for first downs and no receptions. In other words, David Garrard has nearly half as many rushes for first downs as Adrian Peterson. You know, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, I'm not going to suggest that David Garrard is an elite quarterback, but he ain't bad. We're blessed with a pretty good quarterback here, a guy who is in the upper half. I'm going to check that out, of the passer rankings, at least at the halfway point of the passer ratings. He's right in the middle of the passer rankings with a very, very acceptable 86.6. He's the best rushing quarterback in the league, according to these stats. He's a guy who has led a team in reconstruction to 7 wins, and he is on the verge of putting this team back in the playoffs for the second time in 3 years. I think he deserves more respect than he gets. And with that, I'll go to a caller named Doug in Mandarin who wants to talk about Garrard. Good evening, Doug.
Hey, good evening. Thank you very much. You are the guru.
Thank you.
Now, everything you say, I've never called before, first time, long time, and everything you say is like so perfect. And I just want to say
this is a good caller, Joe. We need more like these. You've got to find more. I'm telling Joe Fortunato, he's got to find more callers like you.
No. There's a lot of callers out there that don't call. This is my first time. He hits the nail on the head. Hey, talking to you.
What pearl of wisdom do you want to drop on us, because we're losing our listening audience?
When you're talking about, Garrard, because he's a big boy, he's not getting all the calls and everything.
Right.
Just think of the NBA. Look at that guy that just got out of jail. He's doing all kinds of shows.
Who's that?
I totally agree with you on that.
Who's the guy just got out of jail that's doing all the shows?
The NBA referee.
Oh, Donahue.
I saw this thing last night, and he's like, they all used to go back into the room at the halftime, and they talk about how this one had a big mouth, and this one this did this and that. So I feel that's how it works. And when you have the Mannings of the world, there's someone up there on the upper echelon saying, no, we can't hit him. We can't do that. We can't do this. But, we're in a lower class, according to the NFL, and Garrard is a really, really good quarterback.
Okay, I'm going to end your call by agreeing with you. I'm going to agree. I'm going to say this, that yes, Peyton Manning gets calls that nobody else in the league gets, and certainly not David Garrard. Now, this is common. This is age old stuff. People in hockey will tell you that Wayne Gretzky was treated like he was a prince, but Mario Lemieux was allowed to be roughed up all over the boards.
Michael Jordan could travel all he wanted, and he never got that 3-step call.
Exactly. So, I'm really disappointed right now in the way we're officiating games. And I'm not talking about the National Football League. I'm talking about some other leagues, specifically college football. My God, what's going on in college football is an absolute tragedy. Adding time to the clock so that the team that can bring the most money to the conference has a chance to win the game. That's twice now in like the last 5 years that the Big 12 officials have made a call that has favored Texas so that they could get that extra team in the BCS or get that team in the national title game to get that payday. What happened Saturday night is tragic. It's tragic for competitive sports, to have something like that happen is awful. I've seen it in the SEC repeatedly this year, and I saw it in the Big East in the Cincinnati-West Virginia game. And I had a conversation with somebody today. Well, I'll tell you who it is. It's Gene Smith. And I said, you know, it's about time they get rid of conference officials and the NCAA, get their own officiating body, and send those officials out to do these games instead of the conference assigning officials, because I truly believe that these conferences and these conference officiating bodies are making calls to favor the conference's bank accounts. Are we headed for another break?
Yes, we are.
Do it, baby.
There's the music. Jaguars fans enter to win $50,000 towards your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. One winner will be chosen from each home game. You and a guest could win tickets, a parking pass, and a chance to win $50,000. Just log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for all the details. Vic is coming back here on Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV. Welcome back to Jaguars Monday on your flagship station for Jaguars football, News Talk Radio WOKV. And this portion of Jaguars Monday is brought to you by North Florida's labor unions, a job done on time and on budget. That's the union way. And by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. Want to talk to Vic? Easy to do. 355-NFL1. Outside the area, 1-800-355-NFL1. Doesn't get any easier than that, Victor.
Let's talk to Chris in Lakeland, Florida. He wants to talk about this Sunday's game against Miami, and I want to talk about it too. Good evening, Chris.
Hey, guys, and congratulations. You got a 7 on the weather meter, and they're only calling for showers.
Yeah, I mean, 7's good, isn't it? I mean, we've got nice temperatures for December. It's good.
I'm comfortable with what happened this past week, and I just don't know enough about Miami, and it's too soon in the week for you to do your 10 things. What are the 3 things we have to do to beat Miami?
The obvious first thing is you have to stop the run. I mean, that's Miami's thing. They've got a young quarterback, Chad Henne, who's coming along now. I'm going to look him up here, but he's starting to play some ball. If they had stayed away from that Wildcat crap and let this guy develop a little quicker, they'd have a guy who's a little farther along right now for the stretch drive. But I'm looking at Henne. He on the stats right now, and he is sitting at 74.4 with a passer rating, 9 touchdown passes and 8 interceptions, and that's what's hurting his passer rating is the 8 interceptions. But he's starting to cut back on the mistakes, and he's starting to increase the positive plays. You can see that he is on the rise, and what this means is that the Jaguars are getting a team here this Sunday that is much better, in my opinion, than its rankings. First of all, the Dolphins have just played an absolute killer schedule. Just a killer schedule. I'm gonna look it up and read it off to you, and I think you'll be stunned at how tough their schedule has been this year after a year when they had a very, very easy schedule. This is their schedule this year. At Atlanta, Indianapolis, at San Diego. That's how they opened the season. At Atlanta, Indianapolis, at San Diego. Then Buffalo, the Jets, New Orleans. They got two undefeated teams, the two undefeated teams in the league. They got them in the first half of the season. Then the Jets at New England. Tampa Bay at Carolina, at Buffalo. New England again, now at Jacksonville. And they finish without Tennessee, Houston, and Pittsburgh. It is a very, very tough schedule. Tough schedules tend to harden the steel. They tend to make teams tougher. That's what the Steelers rode to the Super Bowl title last year. The Steelers played an absolute killer schedule, and this year the Dolphins have it. So what's coming here this Sunday is a battle-hardened team that is much better than its rankings because it's played such a tough schedule and because those ratings took a big hit. Rankings took a big hit early in the year, and now they're on the rise. The Dolphins aren't playing to the level of a number 22 defense. They're playing better than that right now. They're not playing to the level of a 26 passing team. They're playing better than that right now. So what the Jaguars are getting this Sunday, in my opinion, is a team hard on the rise, just as the Jaguars are. This is a classic intrastate matchup of Florida rivals. I think it's going to be the signature game of the regular season. Okay. That caller's gone. And we go, right?
Yeah.
He's gone. And we got one left, and we can conclude the show with Terry on the south side, who wants to talk about offensive linemen and Christmas Vacation, my favorite movie, or one of anyhow. Hi, Terry.
Hey, Vic. You know, I had no idea all those years ago whenever I got my first edition of Jaguars Inside Report that over the years I would learn so much that had nothing to do with football from you. Nicely done, my friend.
Well, I really like to have fun with this. You know, for me, there are people who, after a loss, go deep into the tank. I mean, they go dead.
Well, I understand.
I will not let that happen to me. I want to have fun with this. If it's not fun, then I don't want to do it. And the reason is because it just goes on and on and on, year after year, week after week, game after game. And you know, yesterday is forgotten so quickly.
That's true.
You know, it's always been called a "What have you done for me lately?" league. So
yeah, yeah.
So you know, I don't want to get too bummed out about what happened yesterday. I just prefer to let's move on. And a week ago, everybody was bummed out about the 49ers game. I mean, this show was a dog. It was just a big whining, crying session. And here we are a week later, and I said back then, I said, that loss doesn't mean much, folks. Trust me on this one. It's not a big deal. It's not going to go to the tiebreakers because it was against an NFC team. Here we are a week later. The Jaguars have a one-game lead for the wild card race. But now I'm also going to tell you, this is the one. Just as I told you a week ago, the San Francisco game wasn't that big. Believe me when I tell you, this one is. This is the game.
Well, then I'll take that one to the bank. But two things real quickly. One, okay. I wanted to thank you for establishing a new tradition at the Henderson household. We thoroughly enjoyed watching that movie, and I had never seen Christmas Vacation, Vic.
And
we thoroughly enjoyed it. We absolutely howled.
Yeah, we turned it into a tradition in our family, Thanksgiving tradition. And the crazy thing is every time we watch it, we see something we hadn't seen the year before. It's amazing. Let me get one more call.
Give us offensive line question.
Okay, go ahead, Terry. Give me your offensive line question.
Is it possible for our offensive line ever to protect David Garrard the way Indianapolis protects Peyton?
Remember that it's not just about protection. It's about getting the ball out quickly, and nobody gets it out faster on time and more accurately than Peyton Manning. That's the difference. It really is.
Okay.
And let me get one more. Do we have time for one more call? Let's talk to Mark in Arlington. We'll have to make it quick, Mark.
Hey, Beck, Mark, thanks for taking my call. Three bones to pick quickly. You missed the point on David Garrard. The caller's point was David should have run it in from the 1 yard. Not that he's not the best. He is the best. He should have gone for it in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Secondly, the fans were into that game. There was only 42,000 of them, but I can tell you the noise was loud. And third, why don't we get a little pass like Arizona did when they were so bad for so many years? Why can't Jacksonville get a
You did.
Pass?
You got it all last year. You got it all last year.
I don't agree.
You got it all last year. Those games were not sold. Listen, Mark, you have to believe me when I tell you, or because you don't have that information. I do. You got it all last year, and you got it a lot when it shouldn't have been given to this town, and that's part of the problem. Wayne Weaver has been giving this baby away on TV for free for a long, long time. It had to stop sometime.
We were 1-7 at home last year. Don't give me that.
Mark,
we can get this team back if you get a little bit more positive. That's the end of my comment. Thanks, Vic.
He's got you down.
Okay, now here's what I'm going to do, Mark. If you ever call in again with the name Mark, you got no shot.
Oh, I thought you liked controversy.
No, I'm just joking. I'm just joking. But what Mark is not hearing me on is Wayne gave this city a pass all last year. And that's the end of the show.
That'll do it. All right, Victor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Vic will be back Wednesday night for Jaguars This Week along with Brian and Jeff. And don't forget tomorrow night, Brian's got the coach right here on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty. This is AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.